We're hearing now about the wonderful glories of the associates of Nityananda, as spoken by Vrindavan Das Thakur from the bottom of his heart. He's collected all of his feelings and love and placed it into these Bengali shlokas to glorify the Nityaparishads of Nityananda. And by hearing the glories of these great devotees, many of whom are the Nitya Gopas of Radha and Krishna and Nitya Gopis, and by hearing this Vaishnava Mahima, Charitra Mahima of the Vaishnavas, we will become purified. And there's a practice that's mentioned in Padma Puran that if you read about the qualities of a great soul and you pray to that great soul that your wonderful and auspicious and divine devotional qualities manifest at least partially, if not completely, within this unqualified and most unworthy soul, then I would be most gracious. And the Padma Puran says that when we meditate on the great exalted devotees, past or present, and we pray for their mercy, then simply by remembering them and praying to them, then 1/6 of their qualities come into us. They actually come to us by transferal. As I mentioned, oftentimes the analogy of transferring money. Your uncle is in England and he's a Kropati. He's a millionaire. So then he hears from your father when he visits his brother in England that you're not doing so well and the father's not so wealthy. So secretly he wires $1 million into your bank account in Delhi. And then you go one day, oh, I have so much big money in my bank. How it came. So it came invisibly, imperceptibly, but it came. You got the benefit. You got the increase of wealth. So in the same way, from the bank, the mercy bank, the Kripa Kosh of the Vaishnava's hearts, they send their vibrations and they send their blessings and qualities via the transcendental system, and that enters our heart and increases our stock, increases our bank account of goodness and virtuous qualities and enriches our devotion mysteriously and imperceptibly. So that's why it's so much important and so much prevalent in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya and others too to some extent, but not so much as it is in ours. In other Vaishnava Sampradayas, they honor yearly one of the major saints, generally. The Madhvas, of course, they honor the appearance day of Madhvacharya. And the Sri Vaishnavas, they honor the appearance day of Ramanujacharya. And the Rudra Sampradaya followers, they honor the appearance day of Vishnu Swami. And the followers of the Nimbark Sampradaya, they honor the appearance day of Nimbaditya or Nimbark. That's it. But in Gaudiya Sampradaya, we honor so many Vaishnavas. There are literally hundreds of great Vaishnavas, at least an average of about 100 great Vaishnavas, Parishads of Lord Chaitanya, great devotees that appeared within the last 500 years, even after Lord Chaitanya's time, like Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Narottam and Srinivas and so many. We honor them, their Avirbhav and Tirobhav, with the Utsav. In fact, the Tirobhav lasts for 3 days. So now just think about it. There's at least 100 devotees that we honor with 3 days a year. There's 100 devotees that we honor with a three-day festival, Tirobhav Utsav. First day is called Adivas Kirtan. And Adivas Kirtan is the 24-hour Chobis Ganta Kirtan where all the great devotees are invited through various ragas and through meditation and mantras. They invite all the demigods and great Vaishnavas, past and present, to attend the function. And the second day is Suchak Kirtans. Suchak Kirtans and Bhajans, which are various specific Vaishnava Bhajans, not a Kanda Harinam Kirtan. First day is Adivas, what is it called? Adivas Kirtan. 24 hours of Hare Krishna, non-stop Hare Krishna Mahamantra chanting by various rotating Kirtan parties in the area where they're celebrating the function, disappearance of Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, etc. Adivas Kirtan. Adivas means they invite all the original followers to reside there for this function in their blessing form, their bhav sarup or kripa sarup. and they're most attracted by this wonderful chanting. Then the second day is specific glorification of the Vaishnava in question. It is Sucha Kirtans, Tirubhav, Bhajans and Kirtans, glorifying Vaishnavas as a category, and specifically the merits and contribution of this Vaishnava. Sucha Kirtan is a type of kirtan which describes specific qualities and contributions of that departed Vaishnava. And these Sucha Kirtans are specific. There's one for Rupa Goswami, Sucha Kirtan, another one for Jiva Goswami. You can see in my Samadhi's book, these Sucha Kirtans for the Sadhu Goswamis are mentioned in the back, written by some great devotees in their parampara. And we also wrote one for Srila Prabhupada called Srila Prabhupada Mahimamrita. Jaya Bala Krishna Leela, like this, all that. Jaya BBT. Which glorifies, that's actually a Sucha Kirtan. I became inspired by studying this subject and taking part in these functions, and especially in a Samadhi's book, which mostly is about Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And that came out. So this shows the importance of glorifying Vaishnavas, that there's over 100 and we spend 3 days. Second day is Sucha Kirtans and Puja and Pat and fasting. That's the actual day. The day of the Tirubhav, the Titi, and the day there's fasting. Day before, there's 24-hour kirtan. And then the day of the Tirubhav, there is fasting. Oftentimes, some either complete fasting or falahar fruits. Then there's puja and pat recited at the Samadhi tomb or Bhajan Kuti of that great Vaishnava. And all further glorification, he's glorified with a 24-hour Akanda Kirtan, Arivas. Then he's glorified with Sucha Kirtans and Pat, Bhagavat Pat, and other glories, often reading from his books. They read from his books and give classes. They give Pat and classes on his books. If it's Rupa Goswami's Tirubhav, then they give the Pat, the lecture from one of his books and commentary. They give commentaries on those lectures to all the assembled Vaishnavas and hear the wonderful teachings and glories. The life story and glories and the actual teachings and contribution through his shiksha from his books. And if not, just his summary of his teachings and contribution. That's the second day. A very much day full of vilap and smaran and tears and remembrance and deep prayer and puja, worship. Then third day, ulas, utsav. It's a Tirubhav utsav. So it's all utsav. Vilap or lamentation is a form of utsav or festival. Festival and separation and festival of union. The third day is the Shobhayatra. Shobhayatra is when they take the photograph, murti and or photograph or painting, as the case may be, from the samadhi or bhajan kutir, the worshipful painting and deity form, the chitramurti painting or the actual Ashtadhatu Murti or Daru Murti or whatever, fiberglass is that. And they put on some cart, some very decorative rath, or on a palanquin, carried on the shoulders of devotees, depending on the opulence and aishvari of the ashram. It can be a very elaborate rath cart and a horse cart or so many things. And then they do Shobhayatra, Harinam Sankirtan. Nam Sankirtan, Shobhayatra, they parade all around the town of Vrindavan or Radhakund. And there's a wonderful ecstatic kirtan. All the Vaishnavas from all the different groups come together, this sampradaya or that sampradaya, to honor them. Because Jiva Goswami, for example, is the founding father for the basic, so much of the Siddhanta and philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And he's honored across the board. He's worshipped by everyone. All the Advaita followers, Advaita Sampradaya, Nityananda Sampradaya, Gadadhar Sampradaya, ISKCON, Gaudiya Math, unaligned Babaji, self-styled gurus and Babajis, and self-manifested non-parampara Siddha Mahatmas, etc. They all study the books of Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami with great relish and derive great benefit therefrom. And they come. They all come in one beautiful unity and harmony of devotees, all different tilaks, all different hairdos and beards and shaved heads and dhotis and lungis and gunny sacks and a motley bunch of sadhus coming to for the Shobhayatra. And yogis, all types, I've seen many times in Vrindavan and Radhakund. And then that's wonderful kirtan on the third day. And they prayed all around, taking the murti of that great departed Vaishnava, and then bring back to the kuti. And there's an elaborate artik. Then after artik, there's more kirtan, and then Vaishnav Seva. The third day is called Vaishnav Seva, Shobhayatra and Vaishnav Seva. Arivas, first day. This is the standard system. Arivas, kirtan. Then second is Pujan Pat at the Samadhi. Then third is the Shobhayatra and Harinam Sankirtan. Basically, they usually say Harinam Sankirtan and Vaishnav Seva. Vaishnav Seva is the term that they use in Gaudiya Sampradaya to mean feast. Because the idea of Seva is a little different than feast. Feast sounds like bhoga, sounds like sense enjoyment, sounds like indulging, sounds like King Henry VIII. King Henry VIII is feasting out, gorging, feasting. So the idea of Vaishnav Seva is much more respectful and much more Krishna conscious and spiritual. It's called prasad seva, not prasad feasting, not prasad gouging, gorging, scorfing. Prasad scorfing. I scorfed it up. You ever hear this phrase? It's a Western slang. I really scorfed up the prasadam, Prabhu. I was ravenously hungry. Acha, you're quite an interesting speaker. Why don't you just say you honor the Sunday feast? I was ravenously starving to death. And I scorfed up the Sunday feast. Slurped it up. Slurped up the sweet rice. And gorged the puris and cheese sabji. People talk like this. But in the more cultured circles of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they don't speak like this. They say we honor Jiva Goswami's Tirubhavutsa Prasad with great relish in the association of all the wonderful Vaishnavas. And it was great ulas, and all the devotees were chanting, Hari, Hari, Jai Ho, Jiva Goswami Bhadaki, Jai Damodar, Jai Damodar, Jai Damodar. And relishing the wonderful feast in the Damodar Mandir in association of the Vaishnava Mandal. So this discussion I've given is to describe the power and potency and the necessity for glorifying and necessity for glorifying the Vaishnavas and the extent to which it's done in Gaudiya Sampradaya specifically. Therefore, this whole idea of glorifying Vaishnavas is not done for, it's not an empty ritual or rite performed in repetition of the previous acharyas, but it is actually, people experience wonderful benefit from it. Each individual devotee, when he attends a function like this, he feels so purified and so elevated and so attached to that Vaishnava that it increases his own surrender and increases his own dedication and increases his sincerity and his expertise in the practice of Krishna Bhakti. So he realizes these are good things to go to. You understand how important it is to hear the glories of the Vaishnavas. How valuable, important, and beneficial. And we're so blasé. Ah, yeah, this Tirubhav went by. That Avrabhav went by. We don't even read it. That's why when we compile this Gaudiya Vaishnav Samadhi's book with Vaishnav biographies, and it's also in Hindi, Gaudiya Vaishnav Charitamrita, in Hindi, we compile that in a very brief way, because people at least can get some touch with that Vaishnava. We know the nature of modern people. They don't have time to read a 20-page biography of Jiva Goswami. In my research of the 80 Vaishnavas in that book, oftentimes in front of me, I would have 80 or 90 pages of material about that Vaishnava that were unpublished anywhere. And then I would say, wow, took me so much time. It's easy to just edit that and make it a little bit understandable, to condense that into two paragraphs, three paragraphs, which is what I did in that book. I tried to take the ocean and put it in a cup. It's a little difficult to take the ocean and compress it into one glass. So that book is like, every description is like an ocean compressed in a glass. Because people often say, oh, why don't you have his place of birth? You don't have his mother's name. You don't have his father's name. You don't have the school he went to. You don't tell he defeated this Digvijaya or that. And they ask me sometimes, and I said, I'm well aware, or somewhat aware, I forgot. of all the wonderful, extensive glories of all these wonderful, great devotees. But I have a particular purpose in mind. I did a specific book. Knowing that other people would make more elaborate books, and there are many other books about Sri Chaitanya's associates, the Parishads of Lord Chaitanya, there are many books in English that are quite elaborately described about the Vaishnavas, and all glories to those books. This is the foundation of Sankirtan, Harinam Sankirtan, innovation. Prabhupada told us, he said, you should rack your brains to find the way and the means to spread this Krishna consciousness. You're all intelligent, young Western boys and girls. You should do something big for Krishna. So I would ditto the same phrase to all of our students and well-wishers. Should rack our brains how to spread this Krishna, which means how to spread and distribute these books. And we took that to heart. Day and night we were thinking how to distribute Prabhupada's books. We came up with so many new ideas, which we implemented. First-time ideas. Making this pamphlet, making that pamphlet, putting a flyer inside the book with feedback and follow-up addresses. So many ideas came out because we were racking our brains. And some novel and new contributions, which are standard status quo everywhere, which were never done in the whole world before. But there's no name. Krishna knows, we know, and some selected few know. But these things, this is what innovation is. It's something new, and what's this? And all of a sudden it becomes the accepted status quo. It's the way things are done, the operating procedure, modus operandi. So this is the point. The idea is that the glorification of Vaishnavas is so wonderful. And the other thing we want to learn here from Vrindavan Das Thakur's recitation and revelation, in a summary way of these Vaishnavas, is that we should get involved with this activity and we should verbally do the same, glorify Vaishnavas, and we should read about the great Vaishnavas and honor their Avrabhavs and Tirobhavs. At least read their thumbnail biographies that we collected in our book, make it fast, and just think about those qualities. Read it, takes 5 minutes, then spend your day at work or commuting or cooking or cleaning or whatever, even chanting and meditating on some of those qualities. It's very effective. I associate with great... How do we say that we are association shapes our future? If you have good association, you become good. Say you associate with a carpenter day and night. Will you learn something about carpentry? Obviously. Yes. You become expert. I see there's one boy in the town. I know one electrician. Now I saw him. He's coming with his electrician. I said, yes, I'm learning. He's a young boy. So that means in a few years he'll be an electrician. And he won't have to be pulling rickshaws and all this. He's a little bit smart. So by association, we develop all good qualities. We develop Krishna consciousness. So if we associate with these great Vaishnavas, then we'll become great devotees. It's all about Sangha. Satam prasangam avirya sambhado. So let's hear about the Vaishnavas. That was the preamble. Prema rasa samudra sundranandanam nityananda sarupera parashara pradhan. The pradhan parashad. Sundarananda. Repeat it. Sundarananda.
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 Now those are the two most desirable qualities. Everyone wants beauty and bliss. Is there anything? These are the two most desirable qualities of any human being in the entire universe. Everyone wants beauty and happiness. Sweetness, all that. Those are the subsequent definitions of beauty, sweet beauty. But beauty and happiness, beauty and bliss. This is the devotees. The devotees are full of beauty and bliss. So his name is Sundarananda Ki
Jai.
He was a Rasa Samudra. What does that mean?
Ocean
of the mellows of ecstatic love. Love. He was the chief of Nityananda Srup's associates, Parshad Pradhan. Pradhan, as you know, means original, beginning, main one. So he's a Rasa Samudra. So we can ask ourselves, are we an ocean of Ras? Well, I'd wonder. Huh?
Ocean of
Anartha Samudra. Someone said we are Anartha Samudra, an ocean of aparads and offenses. Or anarthas means unwanted things. So rasa is desirable. Prema rasa samudra. So okay, we must honestly admit that in this lifetime or any lifetime, it's doubtful we'll become a prema rasa samudra. But you're an ocean and I'm a desert. So what a desert needs most is some water. So I can pray to the ocean, O ocean of prema rasa, O ocean of mellows of ecstatic love, please bless me and sprinkle me with a few drops. I will be happy. I will be overjoyed and kick my heels in joy if I can become a prema rasa bindu. Forget about prema rasa samudra. You're a samudra, you're an unlimited ocean of ecstatic mellows of love and service. And I am dry and loveless. I am as dry and loveless as a desert. But please, you bless me. Maybe I'm not asking to become an ocean, but can I get a drop? Is that much? If you go, say you go to a millionaire, he says, "Oh, son, what do you want? 1 rupee." "Acha, 1 rupee." "Yes, because I know that with 1 rupee I can make my fortune." So he says, "All right," and he gives a rupee. And I told that story before about Baba, a famous industrialist of India. I won't tell you what he's famous for. It's in Bengal especially. And his father, his father was very wealthy. And he told his son, he said, "If you're my son and you're a true Baniya, you can make a fortune with nothing. So I will give you, I will tell you a way to make some money. I won't even give you money. I'll tell you a way to make some money. And from there, you'll build your fortune. This will be the acid test to prove you're a good businessman." So then that wealthy father told his aspiring son, he said, "Listen, there's a plague right now in Calcutta. And the government of Calcutta is offering 1 rupee for every dead rat. So as many dead rats as you can collect and give to the government, which may be carrying that plague and spreading to kill all the people, then you'll get rupees, and then you can build your business." So then the son took up the challenge, the initiative, and he started going out catching rats and finding dead rats or whatever here and there, and brought them to the government. And he got five rats, and he got 5 rupees. So then he went to the pawn dealer who sells pawn leaves, and used in some mouth refresheners as pawn. So then he said, "Do you have any old pawn leaves which you can't sell?" He said, "I have some, but they're still valuable." He said, "Just give me whatever you, as many as you can. I'll give you, give me 5 rupees worth." So he gave him a bunch of crappy old, rotten pawn leaves. He took them home and trimmed them. And then he got a little table and he put a nice cloth and he put them on a cloth and he said, "Pawn leaves, 5 for 1 rupee. Usually they're 1 for 1 rupee. He said, 5 for 1 rupee. People said, "Oh, but they're a little cut." He said, "No, but they're good. You can see. Yeah, they're very good." "Oh, 5 for 1 rupee? Very good deal." So instead of getting 1 for 1 rupee, they got 5. So in this way, by from dead rats to pawn leaves, and gradually he built up his money, and using his intelligence, now he's one of the biggest industrialists in the Bengal. Very famous industry called Baba Industry. So this is called ingenuity. Taking something and making it amazing. So we're not asking. So that's what I'm saying. You go to the rich man, you don't ask for $1 million. Take a rupee and build it. So we're asking for a prema rasa bindu from Sundarananda. Sundarananda ki.
Jai.
Let's hear about another wonderful devotee. I guarantee. This is, of course, a money back guarantee. And remember, you haven't given any money, so don't expect any back. But it is a money-back guarantee. You'll get back the money you didn't give. Wait a minute. That seems to be a paradox. You meditate on that. You meditate on getting back the money you didn't give. And how will that happen? That's called a brain twister. But we guarantee, quote-unquote, money back, that if you sit here and listen to these descriptions that we're giving, you'll feel purified and elevated in Krishna consciousness. Pandit Kamala Kanta Parama Udham Janhare Dilena Nityananda Saptagram. Pandit Kamala Kanta was most grave, Parama Udham. Nityananda gave him the village of Saptagram. Saptagram is actually, it's a gram, it's called Saptagram, but it includes seven other villages within its precincts. Like we might say Mathura, Mathura Mandala, Mathura Gram or Mathura, but Mathura, someone might say I'm from Mathura, but it actually means Barsana, Nandagram, Govardhan. It's all also Mathura in a larger way. So Saptagram is, as it says, seven different villages there, and also the Saptarishis did tapasya there in various areas in their own separate places, because tapasya is to be done alone. Chanaka Pandit says whenever one does tapasya, he recommends it's done alone. Then you don't chit-chat and get discouraged by weak-minded people. You make a sankalpa, you surrender and pray, and control your mind and senses by doing bhajan, and watch your sankalpa unfold to perfection. And then the ensuing blessings that fall upon your head. So he gave him this village. Kamalakanta was one of the Sankirtan devotees, and he was a great Brahmin. So he said, you deliver this village. As Gauranga, when Gauranga was traveling in South India, he came to the village of Korma Kshetra. There's a famous deity there, Shalagram deity of Korma, Korma avatar. There was a pandit there who served and hosted Lord Chaitanya during his South Indian tour. And he fell in love with Lord Chaitanya, which would be expected. Because talk about beauty and bliss. Someone's name is Sundar, beauty, and Anand, bliss or joy. Imagine meeting the personification, the ultimate pinnacle, embodiment, the ultimate ultimate embodiment of the topmost expression of love divine and the topmost expression of inconceivable, unbelievable, enchantingly captivating beauty, all in one spot, in one beautiful form, known as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he didn't come in a small package, a 5 foot tall South Indian, or a 5 foot tall Bengali gentleman, or an average Indian of 5'10". Came seven feet tall, 7 foot long package. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Yeah. So naturally he fell in love with Gaurasundar, Gaurachandra. And he wanted to travel with him and give up his family and leave his village and go hither and thither with Lord Chaitanya, spreading the glories of Nam Sankirtan and Prema Bhakti. And Lord Chaitanya said, no. Yari deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh amara agyaya guru hanatare desh. O Pandit, Shuno. You're a well-respected and established pandit, Brahmin of this village. Everyone knows you. And I know you're completely attached to me and desirous of assisting me in my travels and preaching. But listen, I have a very important mission for you. I'm giving my order to you. Amara Agya. You stay here. Stay here in this village. And you preach. What to preach? He says, you just preach the teachings of Lord Krishna in Gita and Bhagavat. And be an example, be the achar, the example of that. And you become a guru of this whole area and liberate everyone. That is my wish. So then he acceded to the request and bowed his head and folded his hands and said, Tatastu, let it be, I will do. So these devotees were delegated to stay in particular areas to preach. So Lord Chaitanya Nityananda is entrusting this village to him. So what quality do we find here in this thumbnail, really thumbnail biography of one shloka of this devotee, Kamala Kanta, we find that he's Parama Uddham. Uddham. This means he was transcendentally grave. He was grave, sober, serious, controlled, equipoised, because his mind and heart were tied to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Anantashesh, Bhagavan, Krishna. And he is Parama Uddham, which means topmost gravity, topmost sobriety, because he realized the severe necessity of the moment to deliver Krishna Bhakti to the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga. It's a very grave and responsible task to take on one's shoulders and to execute. So, of course, this is the most desirable quality, to be grave and serious, because the tendency is there's so much misery and suffering in Kali Yuga. The only way we can counteract the emotional distress and mental anxiety and anguish is by humor. A good dose of laughing and joking and kidding around, or what they say, horsing around. But sometimes it gets a little overboard, excessive, and we lose our sobriety, and we lose our dhira-dhira nature, or dhira. We become adhira instead of dhira. So to hear about a great Vaishnava like Pandit Kamala Kanta Ki.
Jai.
Pandit Kamala Kanta Ki Jai. So we, Kali Yuga, the only actual way to survive without committing suicide in Kali Yuga is lots of humor. Lots of laughter. We're laughing on the outside and crying inside. This is the nature of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is the age. To exist in Kali Yuga, you have to laugh on the outside while ever crying on the inside. It's a very distressful and cry-producing age. Can you be happy about 50,000 cows being slaughtered every day in India? It makes you cry. Can you be happy about so many things? Rape and pornography and drugs. It makes one cry. Can you be happy about the pollution of Mother Nature's air and water and land and destruction of one species of life every day? Every day one species of life is destroyed by human beings. So many cows are gone. There used to be 5 kinds of tigers. Now there's 1 tiger, maybe 10 in the whole world. There's 5, 10 different kinds of tigers, 10, 20 different kinds of zebras. Not only the varieties are gone, but the whole animal's gone. There's something called vulture. Vulture is part of the whole perfect arrangement of God to dispose of the dead bodies. The vultures are gone. There's not different. There's also varieties. All varieties of vultures are all gone. There are none in India. In my lifetime in India, which is 25 years, they've disappeared by poisons. The chemicals that were created by the veterinarians to cure these out-of-control diseases were so poisonous that when the vultures would eat the dead flesh, they died. Actually, didn't die initially because they're a little old and strong. But when they laid eggs, I already told this before, you know, that chemical altered the genetic structure. The chemical is so powerful in the meat that it altered the genetic structure, DNA of the vultures, while they're living. And when they produced eggs, laid eggs, the eggs had eggshells that were soft as jelly. There was a living entity inside the so-called shell. There was no shell. There was no shell formed inside the female, what do you call it, bird. So when she laid, it was just like a blob. A blob would come out, and it's supposed to be an eggshell, you know, birds, production of baby birds. So then there's nothing to sit on, and the life doesn't come out, doesn't develop. I mean, the life is there, but it just dies. The living entity, baby vulture, dies in the nest. And then the remaining vultures fly around for some time, and then they die. So show me one vulture you can't find. From Bombay to Calcutta to Himalayas to Kanyakumari, all dead. This is one entire species wiped out. So this is something to laugh about. This is something to cry about. Cry about our brothers. They're our brothers. They're our spirit souls. They're our brothers. They're part of God's creation. We can't create a vulture. We have no right to kill a vulture and annihilate, eliminate a vulture. or the whales or the porpoises or all these, you know, save the whales, save the porpoise. And then pretty soon the cockroaches are going to be carrying, the cockroaches are going to be having a campaign. Cockroaches are going to be carrying a little sign. And they're going to walk up and down in front of the Congress and Parliament building. Save the humans, save the humans. The cockroaches will be on a fundraising campaign with other cockroaches. Humans are going extinct. Oh, we should save them. The planet will become overrun with cockroaches because only cockroaches are resistant to radiation. When they're subjected to radiation, they get bigger. They've already produced 2 foot, 3 foot long cockroaches in laboratories. Haribo. There's a lot of interesting things going on out there. Better you don't know, you cry more. So just laugh it up and think it's a tall story and keep eating rasgullas and chant Hare Krishna. So we can pray to him that we can become a little bit, I don't know about Parama Udam. So we pray that some of this sobriety comes in us and we stop laughing and take to the preaching more seriously and improve ourselves and try to improve others by a more grave approach to our lives as devotees. We are not very serious about our spiritual lives, most of us, and we're not very grave. We're joking around, goofing around, thinking everything's wonderful because we're exploiting the energy of youth. We're exploiting the energy of youth. Our youthful devotional years. We're exploiting our energy to enjoy. Laughing, enjoying, taking it easy. Now when you get old, then you say, oh, my back hurts, my leg hurts, my tail hurts, I can't sit straight. I want to read, but I can't, my eyes are weak, my eyes get sore, my head hurts after a while. Now it's too late to do anything because we were not dhira, we're not udam when we should have been. And we whittled away our lives, our early devotional lives, enjoying the luster and energy of youth. And all too soon old age comes and strips us of our energy and determination and strength and leaves us rather flat, and it's a little more difficult to do anything then. So a wake-up call, a wise-up call. Wake up, wise up, get up, grow up, start up the devotional practices in a more serious way. This is the lesson we can get from Pandit Kamalakanta. Parama Udam. So we pray to him that a drop of this gravity will come inside of us. Now mind you, there's no purport on this verse. This is just the insight of given to us by the mercy of Guru and Vaishnavas in our own experience. So if you get something from it, then that's very good. And we hope everyone does. So we'll continue there with these wonderful instructive glories. These are instructive glories. And one thing is the glories of the Vaishnavas. We're hearing the glories, but we're hearing the instructive glories. We hear, we reflect, we rectify. Hear about the Vaishnavas, glories and contribution and wonderful qualities. Then reflect, then rectify. Receive, reflect, and rectify. Like they have the three R's, right? In America, when we grow up, they say, oh, what do you do? I'm studying the three R's. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. It was a joke. They're not spelled with R. Oh, I'm studying the three R's. Reading, R-E-A, writing, R-I-T-I-N-G, and arithmetic, R-I-T. It was a joke. So we have our three R's also in Krishna consciousness. The three R's of Krishna consciousness. Receive. Receive, reflect, and rectify. Chaitanya Bhagavata ki jai.